Programming sponsored by Charity Mobile. Life is calling. Take it with you. More information at charitymobile.com.
With the growth of the church in Africa, growth in vocations and understanding in African cultures of life, family, faith, and community that we need to learn from again in the West, why is the West targeting Africa with strings attached to financial aid? Strings that bind them up with the ideologies of abortion and contraception as health care, and marriage as an expanding relative idea. I'm Sheila Logminas. Time for a closer look.
I believe you discovered how controversial contraceptives can be as only a Catholic girl who got in trouble with the Vatican over it would know. You got slapped down by the Vatican.
It's okay. I'm doing the right thing. There are 225 million women asking us for contraceptives. They're asking us. And I meet women who die because they don't have access to contraceptives. I mean, these are people living in extreme circumstances, and you can't turn your back on people like that. And so I grew up in the Catholic Church that has a social justice mission. In fact, they used to talk about the cries of the poor. I've heard the cries of the poor, and we need to give access to women to contraceptives.
Welcome to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logminas. That was Melinda Gates, and I had some opening remarks to make to you, but after hearing that at the open just as we played it, I'm going straight to my guest because I know her well, and I know she is chomping at the bit to respond to what Melinda Gates just said, because what catapulted Obianuju Ikiocha so much to world fame was a letter she wrote, an open letter she wrote to Melinda Gates when she first learned what the Gates Foundation and Melinda Gates in particular was saying along the lines of what you just heard. The need for women, especially in Africa, to have contraception as health care, to have the right to abortion and access to abortion as health care. And that's when Obianuju Ikiocha Uju wrote the letter to Melinda Gates that now has become famous and launched a movement in this one woman force of nature. She's back and she's here to tell you all about it. Uju, welcome back. I'm sure you're just bristling right now hearing that clip from Melinda Gates.
Yes, Sheila, thank you so much for starting off this way. You know, you want to rile me up before anything, so that everyone knows what it has to do with Melinda Gates and contraception. Yeah, that's the quickest way to get me to wake up or just pay attention.
I know, but I want our listeners who don't know to know this, that you, yeah, that your work has become such a powerful force around the world that even before your book Target Africa came out, Uju, you founded Culture of Life Africa. You were all over the globe, even at the Vatican, at parliaments, at the UN. You were all over the place talking about this, and the Holy Father, the Pope, coming out with it among his many other phrases and terms that he uses so often. One of them is the ideological colonization of other countries by the West. And your bishop, many bishops in Africa, some of whom you've helped come on this show, took up that slogan, and not just a slogan, the reality, and they went out saying, we don't want your colonization of ideas. Your ideologies in the West are sinking your cultures, and so forth. And now that's led you to do more and more and more and more, and now you have the book, Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. But this all goes back to that open letter to Melinda Gates. So tell us what your thoughts are in hearing what she just said and what your answer is for everyone in our country listening coast to coast right now to you right now, Uju. What do you have to say about Melinda Gates' claim?
Well, I think someone worthier than myself has already spoken about this long before Melinda Gates came on scene. And I'm talking about Pope Paul VI, who of course gave us Humanae Vitae, the great document Humanae Vitae. But I just want to make a reference to the one thing in Humanae Vitae that kind of that started me off when I heard Melinda Gates 6 years or 7 years ago when she was doing her massive or starting off her massive contraception movement. It was this particular phrase that Pope Paul VI had talked about, that contraception put in the hands of authority can in fact be like, and this is me paraphrasing, it can become the weapons in the hands of authority. That's exactly what has happened with places like China, but even more so, this is what can and is already happening in many parts of Africa, where someone like Melinda Gates comes along and she says, "Well, this is good for women. This is something that will help end poverty." This is she described it as social justice. Right? She talks mm-hmm. about it as social justice, and then she throws contraception at us and she walks away. And people who work for the Gates Foundation, they're very much deeply entrenched in all the institutions around healthcare in many of the African countries. So it's not just that she's giving this as a donation, do what you want with it, or see this is, you know, kind of leaving it to the countries to manage. Normally what we find is that people from within the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, go into the African health ministries and begin to push that the health ministries will do more to promote the contraceptives that they've given. So it's not enough for them to give contraceptives that may or may not be accepted by the people. They want the government to use their own networks, their own channels, to bring these contraceptives into people's homes, into people's primary health care facilities where they exist, into villages, even where they don't even have access to doctors should something like side effects happen, into school sometimes, you know, targeting little girls. So it sounds, maybe to some people it might sound, harmless. And she talked about like social justice. But really, this then becomes, in the hands of very difficult leaders in African countries, this can become the worst weapons against women. This is, in fact, how the real war on women happens. It's happening now. It has been happening for a number of years. But the more money that is put into this war, the more money shoveled into this war on women's fertility, the worse it is for women who can't even have recourse to legal systems or health, you know, or judicial systems in their various countries.
You've written so well about this in your book, Target Africa, this very thing. In fact, going back to what you just said about Humana Vitae, you say in your book, Target Africa, Uju, that unlike what we see in the developed Western world, there's actually a very high compliance with Pope Paul VI, Humana Vitae. You say for these African women, in all humility, who have heard, understood, and accepted the precious words of the prophetic Pope, this is how they live and chose to live. Funny how people, you say, with much lower literacy level could clearly understand that which the average, high-class woman in the West has refused to understand, and you think humility makes the difference. I think you're spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very, very high compliance. Even women who haven't read Humanity Vitae, know the church teachings about contraception, understand, the essence of intimacy within marriage and the importance of openness to life within marriage. And even where, you find people, they can't read, they can't quote for you, they can't tell you who wrote Humanae Vitae, but they know, and they understand, and they accept it, and they, and they're living their lives from that perspective, and they're so joyful within this, within this a way of life. Because once contraception comes in, especially when it's brought in a big way, as Melinda Gates has been trying to do for the last couple of years, it does bring a lot of disruption to communities and to families. And into marriages and into bedrooms, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a time the British government was trying to do something from the parliament. They were talking about reproductive health and contraception to African women and women in other parts of the developing world. And I also did appeal to them saying, do you want to be the third person in the bedrooms of African couples? That's exactly what Melinda Gates has made herself. She has made herself and her organization and other people like herself, they have become the third party, the unwelcome third party in many African bedrooms, as they are trying to put in IUDs into women's bodies, as they are trying to put in implants and all the things that people don't want and haven't asked for. But then they're still going to try to convince them with all the money they have. They've become the unwelcome third party in marriages, and that's very unfortunate.
Well, it is very unfortunate, and I just, before the show today, for Show Prep, Uju, as you know, off the air, I let you know that I was looking at a video from CBS, going back to 2017, and it was an interview directly with Melinda Gates about the work the Gates Foundation does. And it was really astonishing. I mean, just that pride with which she, Melinda Gates, presented the work they do in these poorest countries in the world, which you have in your book, that Melinda Gates made a promise to plant the seeds of her legacy, if you will, in 69 of the poorest countries in the world, you say most of which are in sub-Saharan Africa. And that pledge was to collect pledges for almost $5 billion in order to ensure that African women are less fertile, less encumbered, she says, and yes, more liberated. And you wrote right back, this is just not the African woman that I know, and I am an African woman. Please pay attention to what I have to say.
Yes. No one is asking for this, Sheila. No one. There's no demand. The African women are asking for basic health care and basic human needs, just water, food, access to education for their children, access to training and employment, security. These are the things that women want. But someone comes in from the United States where people have all kinds of, let's say, insurance, if you like, you know, all kinds of things, safety net. If the contraception, something were to go wrong, they would be able to go and sue the company. If there was any side effect, they were going to be able to go into the doctor's office and have the contraception removed. And women have also suffered, by the way, in the West. Women have suffered with this kind of mass and extensive contraception usage and extensive contraception prevalence and all whatnot. Women have continued to suffer, and things like depression come up and all kinds of side effects in the West. And women are unhappy and so dissatisfied with life. And yet, these people who have done these social experimentations within the West and seen that it hasn't worked have still come with the exact same blueprint for the same social experimentations to the African countries, and they are right now, as we speak, in the process of experimenting on the African people, with or without our knowledge, with or without our consent.
Well, you see, you're telling us the reality that you know to be true for African women. And we need to do is listen to the African women, listen to you, read your book, Target Africa. We'll get in a moment to the documentary that came from it, that hopefully that people will really get the book, get ahead of that, and get ready for be very excited about when this documentary comes out and make sure that they have access to it. But when they listen to you, they get the truth. But let's listen to a clip about where Melinda Gates and the Gates Foundation thinks they ought to be paying attention to find out what the reality is in Africa.
What we've done as a world is we've done an incredible job of bringing down the number of deaths of children under the age of 5. And that's because of basically vaccines getting out there finally and these malarial bed nets. This is the great thing about math and why data is so important. Not only does Bill like data, I'm a computer scientist. I like data because data tells us where to go and how to act.
Data tells us where to go and how to act. No, the African women should be telling. Uju Ikiocha is telling you, Melinda Gates, where to go and how to act. And on that note, so Uju, your book is saying, please, Melinda, listen to the heartfelt cry of an African woman and mercifully channel your funds to tell her where to go and how to act to pay for what we really need. And bullet point by bullet point, good health care systems, food programs for young children, good higher education opportunities, and other things. What did you think when she says we're looking at data points? Of course, they're crunching numbers and running the data.
Yeah, and even if they were crunching numbers, Sheila, they are ignoring the millions of women in Africa who, for example, are suffering with diseases like cancer. Cancer in and of itself is a death sentence, to African women. I just saw the other day, I think it was like yesterday or 2 days ago, that in America you have reached an all-time low of cancer prevalence. As you know, it's fallen by like 20-something percent. So These are things that in the West, yes, a lot of attention is being paid to these real health issues. But she comes into Africa, she ignores this data. She doesn't ask how many people here have cancer, how many people have diabetes. Africa has the highest, I think it's the highest prevalence of high blood pressure that then leads to heart disease and all kinds of cardiac issues. She doesn't ask that. Those are numbers. That's data coming out from Africa. How many people have access, for example, to clean drinking water? Mm-hmm. About 33% of the African continent does not have access to clean drinking water. That means in those communities, you could drink a cup of water from their source of water and just fall and die. You know, and children are dying of diarrhea because of the horrible, the horrible water that they have within their communities. People are dying because of hunger. How many African kids do not have education? Those are in the tens of millions. Those who are not in school, who are not enrolled in school at the age where it's meant to be compulsory education, as far as the West is concerned. No child who is 8 or 9 years old should be out of school. But in Africa, there are children who are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 who don't have access to school or who are not enrolled in any form of school whatsoever. Then she should look at the data there. Those are things that Africa needs. So if she's talking about data, that's actually very indicting for her, because the numbers, the numbers are pathetic. The numbers are pathetic. The health outcomes, the health indicators, real women's health care, maternal health care, those things, you know, she can look at the real data coming out of Africa and see where their money can be better used and where the people are really feeling the pinch. No woman in Africa is, you know, protesting and asking for contraception, but rather people are asking for these basic needs. And there are numbers to show that. There are numbers.
And that's just it, Uju. There are numbers. There is data. It is provable. It is demonstrable. Yeah. There is so much data that when she says the data tells us where to go and what to do. Well, look at the data then, because what you're saying is what we need, Melinda Gates, from the Gates Foundation, that you want to spend $4.6 billion on. What we need that to go toward, demonstrably so, is good healthcare systems. You write, especially prenatal, neonatal, and pediatric care, food programs for young children. That's also, Uju, demonstrable how the young children are suffering from lack of adequate food programs. Good higher education. There are numbers and there is data. There are data points on that as well. Chastity programs. The women there and the families there, the children there in secondary schools, universities, and you say churches, could create solid support systems to form and inform and reassure young girls and women about real love and happy and healthy and holy lives. And then when you talk about support for micro business opportunities for women, that's an excellent way to build up a village, to build up a community. Yep. And talk about this, Uju, your last bullet point on what you're suggesting to Melinda Gates to listen to from this African woman is this: fortify already established NGOs that are aimed at protecting women from sex trafficking, prostitution, forced marriage, child labor, domestic violence, sex crimes, etc. All of which, is it true, Uju, that all of that is documentable, documented, and she can find?
Absolutely, Sheila. There are all these organizations dying off. Organizations that have been set up, for example, when Uganda fought it, terrible AIDS disease and AIDS pandemic during the height of this pandemic. There were organizations that were in existence at the time who were spreading chastity programs, abstinence programs in schools, and they were going into all, schools and communities, educating people. But those organizations right now they're so defunded, they're so under-resourced. These are things that she can see. These are things that she can easily access. It's data that is available at the tips of one finger. She can find it, and she can actually, speak into those things and invest in those things. But rather, the Gates Foundation have decided on their own plan, their own agenda. What they are doing is really ideologically driven. It's very, very obvious, because you come into a community and people are telling you this, or you see people who are in need in one way, and then you go this other way and say, this is what you don't need that I think you need. So the contraception that is spreading in Africa, the most incredible thing is that people are not even accepting it. So she's been on this journey since 2012, and yet up to today, the prevalence of contraception is only increasing by about 1% a year in most of the African countries. So they put in millions and millions and millions of dollars, and at the end of the year, if it was 13% prevalence last year, it could be 14% this year. It's not going to be more than that. So people are not even really accepting these things that she's spreading. People are not going for it. Many people, we're having a high discontinuation rate in the community. So women, for example, accept a contraceptive device. After about 6 months, they have it removed because they're having side effects. They're uncomfortable. They're unhappy. They're all kinds of things happening to them. But the Gates Foundation is not looking at the data. The data speaks for itself that Africa, mm-hmm. in all parts of the world, Africa has the highest discontinuation rate of contraceptive usage. So they start, they don't finish. Africa has the lowest acceptance rate of contraception usage. Again, these things have been done. The studies have been done. I've quoted a lot of those studies in my book, Target Africa. USAID has done a really good DHS survey, including several countries across the world, but even then they make comparisons and show that in Africa there is the highest desire for fertility, so it's the highest fertility rate and the highest desired fertility rate. So any woman you ask, even before she has one single child, you ask her, how many children do you want? They usually say 4, 5, in some countries 6, 7, 8, 9. So it depends on the country where you're speaking to someone. And these things have been documented. It's not just anecdotal. They have been documented by surveys. We have the highest desired fertility rate. So for anyone who's coming to spread contraception, the first place where they spend money, Sheila, is in trying to re-educate the people and reprogram the people. So all these things she's talking about, at the root of her entire project is the massive amount of money that they are putting into re-education and remarketing, rebranding of contraception. They're putting up billboards across different African villages and cities and trying to tell people about contraception and how nice it is. And they're doing it with pictures of families with one or two children and everybody looking happy, teaching people that you are happiest with just two children. Like, they are spending more money at this stage still trying to reprogram the people, and that has not worked for her so far. So that should be an indication. That should be good data for her.
That is just so jarring. It's so jarring when you hear what you just said about the Gates Foundation sending so many billions of dollars to re-educate women about teaching them to want contraception and to want, as they call it, reproductive services, which is really abortion and contraception. But then running these billboards with just a couple of children, when you've said on this show many times, everywhere you speak, and in your book Target Africa, Uju, that in Africa, the first day of every baby's life is celebrated by the entire village with dancing, dancing, and clapping and singing, a sort of Gloria in Excelsis Deo. I mean, the people in, with all the challenges and difficulties there, people are openly thrilled with the life of a new baby. In fact, a woman sees the new baby as her legacy. That's the true legacy of Africa. Babies are celebrated. Yeah. They're wanted. You know, in Africa, when life begins, you know what marriage means. You know what family is, and they're meddling with that now. So with the time we have left, let's take the book. You're listening to Uju Ikeocha, whose book, Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century, which is exactly what's happening, has been made into a documentary called Strings Attached, because there certainly are strings attached to the financial aid coming there. When is the documentary Strings Attached, Uju, coming out?
It's coming out a day after the March for Life, which is the 19th of January. So it's next Saturday, not this one, but the next Saturday. And it will be online. It will be on Amazon US, Amazon UK, and it will be on Vimeo/on demand.
Oh, that's excellent. I'll make sure everyone gets that link when it's out. I know you'll give it to you. You'll give me the go ahead and I'll get that out there, because that's how a lot of people are getting a lot of both films and documentaries and just information in general. We can get around the so-called gatekeepers, right? Because they're not the gatekeepers anymore. We have the ability to reach people. I don't know anyone, Uju Ikeocha, who reaches as many people on Twitter, especially with the truth about life and calling out major organizations like you do, as you do. You are a one-woman force of nature, and I applaud you and pray for you and your success at everything you do. Thank you for that and for coming on today, and we'll talk when you're here in the States.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uju. Safe travels to you, my friend.
Thank you so
we'll talk
much.
Soon.